RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
On the 14th of May, I had the great pleasure of attending a Calm public meeting at the Southwoods Car Museum Auditorium. And I even got to speak right at the end, and that was a privilege. But it was really interesting to hear the community, well, kind of fight back against climate adaptation. We know it as managed retreat. And you've heard Tanya Lees, who's just about to join me, along with Carrie Evans from Calm on Kapiti Coast. You've heard Tanya explain it before, if you've been listening to RCR for a while, and that replay is in our replays menu. Just search out Tanya Lees and you will hear it. Anyway, so Tanya and Carrie are with me right now. Welcome. Good to see you again.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having us again.
That was a pretty cool public meeting. First of all, I was impressed with the numbers of Kapiti residents there. More than, I didn't know what to expect, but it was basically a full house. The mayor was there. I think for a while the chief executive of the council. I think the mayor, how would you describe the way she was? We'll get on to all the business in a moment, but how do you think she was perceived there?
I think she got a little bit of a shock there, Paul. I mean, it was just about a full house, like you say. I don't think she expected the reaction that she got. I think she thought she'd be coming in and, you know, she would be a lot more supported than what she was. That wasn't the case at all. You can understand why people are, you know, a bit angry and up in arms about what's happening at the moment. And they just simply wanted an opportunity to vent about that.
Watching that, I couldn't understand why she couldn't understand, because she appeared not to. And she whittled away about, you know, council meetings years ago and I've been on this and I've been on that. Yeah, whatever. Let's deal with the issue.
Well, she said she'd known about this since 2011. So she kept that pretty quiet. I mean, we have to give her full credit for actually coming along. We invited her and she requested to speak. We weren't initially going to do that. We were just going to let her sit and listen, because this was our meeting this time. But she especially requested 10 minutes, so we gave that to her. And she was good enough to take some questions straight after she'd spoken.
But then she went.
She did, She didn't wait until the end, and neither did the chief executive, which was very disappointing, because we had, Sean Rush was talking about the science. We had Ian Harrison, who was from Tail Risk. He was speaking about, you know, the economic side of things.
Yeah.
The cost-benefit ratio. And they didn't hear any of that. They left before, so that was disappointing.
Who was the guy who coined the term, premature evacuation?
Yeah, that was Ian Harrison, yeah.
Yeah, right, okay.
It was quite clever, wasn't it?
That stuck with me.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
he wasn't initially going to say that, but I don't think he could help himself in the end.
But it's true.
Yes, yeah.
The concept of it.
No, it is. And I think the mayor realised that, hey, we're not all on board with all this climate stuff. We don't all agree with it. There is no consensus about it. And I think when she left, it was like, I got a bit of a shock. We wish that she'd stayed until the end, because
she would have heard my rant on not believing what you hear all the time then.
Yes,
exactly.
We had 450 people there, Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, and it's a reasonable size community, but, you know, it was at night and it was a bit chilly.
Winter's night.
Okay, so that's cool. All right, just quickly for the listeners, what is the fundamental problem in Kapiti? And this is not just limited to Kapiti, but you can describe it in a way that people can relate. So just quickly, just take us through that one more time before we start talking about this New Zealand parliamentary inquiry into or on climate adaptation. So a bit of history again.
Okay, so the Kapiti Coast District Council has taken it upon themselves. They've set up a group called Coastal Advisory Panel, which was chaired by, you know, Jim Bolger. So they've commissioned a report called the Jacobs Report, which has got a lot of fundamental issues with it that we don't agree with. It's used very extreme modelling. A lot of it is implausible.
Worst case scenario, I think it was described.
Worst case scenario. Yeah. So they've used the old RCP 8.5, which even the IPCC has come out and said, you know, has a less than 1% chance of ever happening. What they've done is they have split the coast into five coastal adaptation areas, and in some places it actually goes 2 kilometres back to the old main road. So most of Kapiti is actually captured in this. So, it depends on where you live as to how you're affected, if you're near a waterway or on the coast. But what the council have also done is put hazard notices on everybody's limb reports, no matter where you live. It's a district-wide blanketing with reference to the Jacobs report.
Doesn't that mean that property values inevitably could be impacted? Because there's some leverage here. If I want to buy your home, oh, look, you know, it's on this thing, and, you know, I could be hit with this later, and I'm not going to offer you so much.
No, well, this is what's happening now, Paul. You know, the real estate agents are telling us that it's affecting people's ability to buy and sell. Insurance is another thing, you know, and that could lead to insurance withdrawal. That's actually happened here on the coast right now. And people's ability to get a mortgage as well. So it's the work that they've done has actually really thrown the district under the bus. Which is good.
How could local political representatives do that to their people?
Well, exactly. And we've been trying to have a meeting with our own MP, Tim Costley. Actually, I sent out an email to him last night saying this is no longer a watch and wait. You know, you need to stand with your people. You need to help us with this. You know, that's that kind of what.
So is he sort of slow walking, is he, on this?
Yes, he's just sort of keeping in the background there, and it's like, you need to do something, you know. This is same with all the councillors as well. You know,
presumably some of their properties are affected.
They will be, yeah. So this is what we can't understand. You know, they will be affected. Why do they seem okay with this? Why aren't they coming along and supporting CALM? I mean, some of the councillors are. We've got councillor. A number of them who do come along to our meetings, which is great to see, you know, showing an interest. But CALM certainly gets the cold shoulder from the majority of the elected officials, which is really disappointing.
They're all in it together, sounds like.
Well, it makes you wonder.
The little club. Little club.
Yeah, they're very captured by the political climate science,
it seems.
And, following that.
Well, no doubt about the science they have, no doubt.
And look, if you bring up about the RCP 8.5 and the extreme modelling, you get labelled as being, you know, a climate denier, conspiracy theorist. That's some of the things that we've been called.
The retorts of the week.
Yeah, it is, because you actually say to them, what is the misinformation? Because that's another thing we get told, that we're full of misinformation. It's like, well, what is it? And they can't pin you down on anything. You say, well, send me an email, you know, tell us what it is we're saying that is supposedly misinformation, and they can't answer you, so.
Yeah, well, not surprised to hear that. All right.
No.
So tell me, there's this New Zealand parliamentary inquiry on climate adaptation. When did you find out about that?
I could answer that. We found out about it last year, Paul, but we just reading it. It was pretty horrific reading, actually. You only need to read about the first 12 pages to really get a sense of what they're proposing to implement in New Zealand. And we just assumed naively, probably, that it was going to be kicked to touch with the change of government, that they would go, yeah, we're not having a bar of this. This is a step too far.
Yeah.
But now it appears that they're going to use it as a basis for a framework for a climate adaptation legislation. They did a round of submissions, they called for submissions last year, and there was some really, looking through that, there's some very obvious bits to that we were really surprised about. They only had something like 147 submissions in total, which for a fundamentally life-changing document doesn't seem very many. Only 16 of those were from individuals. So we're talking about a complete subversion of private property rights here. Mm. So, 16 from individuals from around New Zealand. A third of all the submissions were from Wellington. They broke the submissions down into regions. So we thought that was a significant third.
Wokistan.
Most of the submissions were from local and regional councils, businesses, and the banking and insurance industry.
That's interesting.
Mm. So MFE put together a summary of the submissions, which this new round of submissions that's been called for, they want to base the overview of the submissions on the summary of the last lot of submissions.
So what's the point then?
That's right. The overwhelming summary of the overwhelming flavour of that summary of submissions from last year was highly supportive of the expert working group report. They were almost gushing in their support of it. And when we'll get into the get down to the weeds of what they're trying to propose. But it does seem that the process was very biased. A disproportionate number of submissions were from bureaucratic entities by the appearance. And, very few New Zealanders seem to know about this.
Well, I didn't know about it, and we sort of hear things, but I wasn't looking. And there does seem to be a huge, maybe not so much in Kapiti now, thanks to your efforts, but there seems to be a huge ignorance, blind spot, no understanding what's taking place here, yet filling the space are all these other organizations, like you say, bureaucrats and people with, let's say, vested interests in having it go a certain way. Would I be right in saying that?
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
I'd say like the banking and insurance industry, for example. Mm.
Yeah. What's in it for them, you know?
Well, they don't have to insure. They can refuse insurance, can't they? And I suppose if you can't get insurance, what do you do? What can you do? You might not get a mortgage or a mortgage maintained.
It's even worse than that. Shall I?
Please.
So this is there's a few major points that the expert working group and the summary of submissions points out. So basically, one of the proposals is that a separate Crown entity will be formed for managed retreat. The Crown entity will specifically deal with managed retreat, and it will give unprecedented sweeping powers to this Crown entity. Local councils will be mandated to develop adaptation plans for their area.
Mm.
And it will be they will be based on a risk-based assessment on well-being. It will no longer be, we've currently had this...
Well-being?
Yes, mm-hmm. Currently we've always had a risk to life and property, which is how councils have traditionally dealt with a risk-based approach in their, in their local communities. It's now about your well-being or the community's well-being.
Do they define what well-being is?
They do. They talk about the community well-being. It could be ecological, cultural. What are the other, some of the other, basically anything except individual private property rights, which is, our homes.
Yeah.
So, that's a fundamental shift, if you like, that people might not be aware of. And these risk assessments will be carried out by a group of appointed experts, which the public won't be able to challenge the basis of these risk assessments or the climate modelling used. So that's something
what's
else.
What's the point? It's a charade, right? The way that's set up. It has an expected outcome that it's already baked in if it carries on like this.
That's right. Yep. So another fundamental change will be that they're proposing to move from a post-event adaptation, so obviously after a disaster or whatever, to pre-event adaptation model. So in other words, for example, I'll give you an example of that. If you're in an adaptation area and some predetermined trigger is met, that's come out of the adaptation plan of your local council. And one of the things is likely to be insurance retreat as one of the triggers. Your property can be labelled for managed retreat. The Crown entity will have a final decision and you will have no recourse, and the Crown entity can cancel your title. And they seem to be very much in favour of you won't be able to stay just because your house might be not in the flood zone, it might be on a hill or something. If the area around you is moving, you'll have to move too. It's a whole of community event by the sounds of it.
So they're getting ready for the one in 10,000 year event or million year event, because that's the geological timescale.
Yeah. But this is because they're basing their whole, the whole given is the climate modelling, and maybe I can get onto that.
Yeah, why don't you?
After this. But so a few other things. I'll just finish on the proposals coming out of this expert working group report and the submissions that were done last year. If you have a holiday batch, they say they're proposing that you will receive no compensation, except perhaps with the cost of some of the cost of removal of that holiday batch out of the managed retreat area. Local councils will be exempt from any liability because the final decision goes to this Crown entity. And none of these rules will apply to those people who are Maori ancestry. They won't lose title to their land, and they'll be fully assisted and compensated for moving a home out of supposed harm's way.
Wow.
And the report goes into detail on this. It honestly reads like a co-governance model.
It does.
Which we thought was voted out at the last election. But, it's pretty, and those are just some of the main things.
Sounds like a communist-style takeover to me.
It's so divisive.
Yeah.
It's quite a confronting read, to be honest. But you only need to read, I do encourage people to go and read the first 12 pages if they can stomach it, because it is, you know, we're seeing a complete subversion of democracy and a complete change of how we've traditionally seen private property rights, which is a basic tenet of democracy.
Mm. Yeah.
It's so dystopian.
Yeah, that's the word.
Mm.
Okay, so what submissions, anything more to say about that before I ask you what you have submitted?
No, but I just thought I'd mention the science behind this report.
Oh, the modelling.
The modelling is just taken as a given. It doesn't even discuss how they've come to these or the modelling that they've used. Of course, we now know after our work with in the Kapiti area, it's based on extreme emission scenarios of greenhouse gases, which they say was going to cause the sea level to rise, and that is a given. So the presumption is that the science is settled. No other narrative is provided or climate scientists consulted with. We've come across this group, for instance, called the Clintil Group. I don't know if you've heard of them.
No.
What's their acronym stand for? Let me look it up. Where is it? It's called the Global Climate Intelligence Group. So they're a global group. They're made up of around 2,000 highly credentialed scientists and professionals. Many of them are professors in their climate earth sciences.
Most fully funded, no doubt.
From the earth sciences. No, these are independent. These are people that are speaking out.
Right, I got that wrong.
So if I can quote something from them, Paul. To believe the outcome of a climate model is to believe what the model makers have put in. This is precisely the problem of today's climate discussion, to which climate models are central. Climate science has degenerated into a discussion based on beliefs, not on sound, self-critical science. And the Clintil Group have come out with that statement in 2024 this year. And they've got like half a dozen points that they make, which I think is fundamental to the opposite of the narrative that we're being fed or our councils are being fed. So can I read through those briefly?
Go.
So the first one is natural as well as anthropogenic factors cause warming. The Little Ice Age ended as recently as 1850. It is no surprise that we are now experiencing a period of warming. And just a note on that, what we've What we've come to realise is that NIWA and our other political climate scientists don't consider climate history pre-1850.
No, we know that from Ian Wishart.
Yes. Mm. Yes. So and, of course, we know that narrative began with...
Which is a blink of an eye. Blink of an eye.
Yes. And so that's their starting point. And they're desperately clinging to this narrative, although it's been that hockey stick, Al Gore's hockey stick was discredited. Yes. So anyway, I'll carry on. So the second point the Clintwell group make is warming is far slower than predicted. The world has warmed significantly less than predicted by the IPCC, which is the International Panel on Climate Change, on the basis of modelled anthropogenic forcing. We are far from understanding climate change. Their third point, climate relies on inadequate models. Climate models have many shortcomings and are not remotely plausible as global policy tools. They blow up the effect of greenhouse gases such as CO2 and ignore the fact that CO2 is a beneficial plant food, the basis of all life on Earth.
Yep.
Number four is CO2 is not a pollutant. More CO2 is beneficial for nature and global plant biomass, along with increasing crop yields worldwide. Number five, global warming has not increased natural disasters. There is no statistical evidence that it is intensifying hurricanes, floods, droughts, coastal erosion and other natural disasters or increasing their frequency. However, there is ample evidence that CO2 mitigation measures are as damaging as they are costly. And the last point they make is that climate policy must respect scientific and economic realities. There is no climate emergency. Therefore, there is no cause for panic and alarm. There is ample time to select and readapt as better climate adaptation approaches emerge.
Yeah. Common sense, it sounds like to me.
We just find ourselves in this rather incredulous position in New Zealand and in the world where we're being fed one narrative and all our policy documents are now based on that climate alarmism.
And the new lot are going along with it.
Yes.
Yeah, they are.
Well, how do we explain that?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that, that's for sure. All we're trying to do is raise an awareness, and we've actually written in the last week to most of the politicians that... you know, that are in power positions of
influence.
Yeah. We've written to media all over the place. We're just trying to raise an awareness about this inquiry.
Because most people don't know about it.
You can't call yourself a scientist if you believe in something.
Mm.
The two don't go together. You have to have an open mind.
Yeah, you do.
And you can never absolutely prove anything.
No.
Anyway, so to have a belief is wrong from the get-go, in my view.
Mm. Well, a lot of this is ideology, you know. It's
and money.
It isn't even down to science. Yeah, yeah. So you have to look at the funding. Who is making a buck out of all of this?
All right. Want to just note the time here. In terms of submissions, what has CALM submitted? And have you got any confidence that anyone's going to take any notice, given what you've already just told us?
Well, it's a million-dollar question, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, we have done a submission, which we've got on our, I think we've got it up on our, not quite yet, but we've got a template, actually, up on our website, if anyone wants to kind of use that as a basis for a submission. But we have done a much more extensive submission, which we'll put up shortly. Basically, concentrating on two aspects. One, the first one is the subversion of democracy and the cancelling of private property rights.
Yeah.
And the second one is the climate science, the modelling the modelling that's behind.
How could you make allowances? Sorry, just things coming into my mind. How can you take away someone's batch? Why the batch? Is it too sort of...
Well, they talk all the way, I could answer that, pull that all the way through the expert working group. They talk about equity, 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 equity. So if you have a lot of equity in your home that they're proposing, that can be used to help your neighbour who's doesn't have much equity in their home or...
This is a communist takeover.
Yeah, yeah. How crazy is that?
Yeah. And if you have a second home... They also talk about this, if you have a second home that you're perhaps renting out, which a lot of Kiwis do, that's their part of their retirement scheme, yep.
Yep. And which has been encouraged all the way, by the way.
That's right. So this is the proposal, is that you there will be some compensation given if you agree to buy another property away from the adaptation area that you're being moved out of, as long as you rent it out. But if you just want to sell that property, you say, I've had enough, I want to get out of the property market, you want to sell it, you won't receive.
Wait on, there's something weird about this. It's not, I'm feeling in my gut, it's not about climate, it's not about adaptation.
No, but control.
It's about control and transfer of wealth.
Greed. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Naked.
I would say so, yes. It does read that way. I mean, anyone can read it and you'll come to, most people would come to that conclusion, I think.
How dare you put rules out like that?
I know, it's ridiculous, but most people think it will never happen. You know, it is happening. This expert working group report is already out there and they are basing legislation on that.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's gobsmacking to think that most New Zealanders will have no idea about this and that they won't have a chance to make a submission because...
It's only until the 16th of June, which is rapidly approaching.
So you would think that if we were completely redoing our private property laws or our...
regime, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, democracy, that Kiwis would have a chance to decide on it as a, you know, as a population. But yeah, it's going to be forced on us.
So in Calm's experience, as people have found out more and the knowledge has sort of got out there, people have engaged, have they?
Yes, they have, noticeably. And in fact, on Saturday morning, we were out at the Paraparumu market and we've got a petition up on our website at the moment. But we explain this to people and they're just, yeah, totally amazed by it. And some of them say it couldn't happen. I mean, it's like, oh, I'm so sorry to, you know, ruin your thing.
COVID couldn't happen either, eh?
But, it is happening, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
I mean, we still have time to push back.
Yeah. How confident are you at this stage of the game?
We're still optimistic.
Yeah.
You know,
because in the end, they want to be elected, these people, don't they?
They do, yeah. But it's like if you don't prove yourself and if you don't stand with the people, I mean, you're not going to get back into office.
Hmm.
So, yeah, a bit of a game changer, all of this.
Look, we're not saying that there's, if I can just clarify, Calm's not saying we're not saying that no adaptation should happen, or we're actually saying we fundamentally believe local councils are best suited to attend to local solutions for local issues. So through mitigation and adaptation where necessary, focus on flood protection, drains, good planning for future development that allows for periodic storm events and natural disasters which have occurred for, you know, hundreds of years.
We've been doing that for ages, that sort of work, stop banks on rivers and things like that.
We cannot legislate our way out of risk in an earthquake-prone, volcanic, coastal island nation, but we can avoid the chicken little mentality and use a common sense approach.
Hmm. Mm. Wow. Okay. So when does the submission, you might have already mentioned it, I might have missed it, but when does the submission process close?
On the 16th. Yeah.
Say it again?
Just on the 16th of June, so right. just before midnight, you know.
Okay. Yeah,
so we don't have a lot of time, but we have got the templates up on our website. So if anybody wants to, and we would encourage as many people as possible to use those, get a submission in, because, it is a pretty short time frame, and I think that's been done on purpose too.
Yeah, to make everybody sort of rush or give up.
Not bother. What, you know, we know councils are all over it. They seem to, I guess, there's a lot of talk about who pays. So a lot of local councils want central government to come up with the goods. They want central government to, it's like big brother, isn't it? You know.
Why would so they don't overrate
people?
For
them to pay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're not rating at crazy levels and not feeling the love from the ratepayers. Is that what they're trying to avoid here?
Yes, pretty much. Yeah, they don't want to put themselves into any legality.
Why stand for election?
Sorry, Paul?
But why do they stand for election?
Well, I think they've been so co-opted into this thinking, way of thinking.
You're not there to be a stormtrooper for the climate brigade nutters. You're there to represent the local community.
I don't think there's a lot of critical thinking going on here, to be honest. Yeah.
Empty space between the ears, maybe.
Yeah.
Or a vacuum, even.
Following some sort of narrative.
I think
maybe it's something in their water.
I think it's the group think thing. You know, if one of them might, you know, some of them probably don't believe the, you know, the narrative, but they...
But there's a fear of speaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah, New Zealanders have become a bit scaredy cat.
We're very complacent as a society, really, aren't we?
We've been too well looked after.
Yes.
Yeah.
By our forebears.
Calm can't do this on our own. You know, we can only go so far, so we do need people to get behind us.
Yeah, template's a great idea. We've engaged in that too, and it really increases the multiplies the force of the whole thing. Yeah. So where do people go? What's the web address? Could you give it to me?
It's www.capitycalm.com.
All right.
And we've got a Facebook as well, but we've got a lot of good information on there. If anyone wants to get in touch with us as well, we've got all the contact details.
Yeah, good.
And this is going to happen in other parts of New Zealand as well.
Yep. So based on the same modelling, right, and all the same kind of...
Yeah, and in fact, Wellington, we just saw a couple of days ago, Becca have come out with a report in Wellington along the same lines. So, you know...
Who's in trouble in Wellington? Petone, probably.
Well, no, Paul, no, they're talking about what was the heading of the article? Climate change could have catastrophic impact in Wellington by 2100. They're talking about most of Wellington, the airport, everything.
Yeah, see the fear-mongering?
Yeah.
What a load of toss.
I know.
Yeah.
So that was, now there was a Wellington... Wellington Regional Leadership Committee, which our mayor attended, that went to this presentation.
What, at a bar?
By Becca and Niwa, and it was it was titled the Wellington Regional Climate Change Impact Assessment Report. Another report, and it uses extreme modelling to whip up fear. We're all, you know, be washed out of our homes. But I actually thought it was quite interesting the coincidence that. It's come out in the middle of an inquiry on climate adaptation.
Fancy that.
Yeah. Oh, it's just a coincidence.
Timing.
Come on. All right. Is there anything more to update us on, or is that about it for the time being?
Yes. No, just go and have a look at our, you know, the information. Look at some resources. School yourself. You only have to lift the curtain slightly to read about the real climate science. It's all there. There's some fantastic scientists trying to speak out, but they're never given a voice at the table. And we hear this one narrative, which is based on basically CO2 emissions, which is just...
Can't stop the flow of goodies. Okay.
That's right.
Follow the money and all of that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for coming back on, Tanya Lees and Carrie Evans, Calm Capity. Look forward to the next meeting.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah. Probably won't be far away.
I'll be there.
Yeah, cool.
Right.
And thank
Watch
you for
them
speaking.
Squirm. Yeah, well, it was a pleasure. I hope someone there got something out of that. It was a bit random.
Hey, you got a lot of support, and so did
we had a lot of great feedback.
Yeah, we've had a lot of feedback about that. So,
fantastic.
So thank you.
And I would say we'd got 90% support. We've had, you know, a few people that, you know, think we're climate deniers, but that's just a ridiculous title, quite frankly. But
you can't deny the climate because you're in it and it's out the window.
That's right. So. I mean, it's just such a juvenile.
Well, it's like saying Holocaust
argument.
Denier or something like that.
Yeah. It's just juvenile.
And more people need to speak out. You know, there's this fear culture at the moment, you know, that you can't talk about this or that, you know.
Anything.
And you'll wear a label, but, you know, if more people do it, it makes it easier for everybody.
Yeah, we'll see.
Having that confidence. We didn't particularly want to come on here and talk about, you know, the climate and the co-governance, you know, but somebody has to do it. Someone has to.
Well, it's happening. This is happening.
Yeah, it is, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
It's a part of what we're having.
And how dare you have a beach badge in New Zealand?
How dare you work all your life?
Who do you think you are?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so Tania Lees and Kerry Evans, Calm Company, thanks for coming back on.
Thank you.
We'll keep an eye on things, and when there's anything more, we'll chat again, I'm sure.
Right.
Thank you.
Paul. Thanks. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it. And right now, they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.